Thank you for joining us. My name is Jason Gann, and we began a study on pushing aside the stumbling block that keeps us from doing what God commands us to do. Today we are going to continue that study. It is very important that we do not let anything keep us from doing what God commands us to do. Sin doth so easily beset us. Sin is like a weight unto us. It can keep us back. It can hold us down. It can keep us from doing all that we can do for the cause of Christ. Also, we learn from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1 through 2, that sin separates us from God. Well, in order not to be separated from God, we thus must push aside anything that causes us to sin. Yesterday, we studied about how that the Israelites were journeying through the Red Sea, how that they had crossed that Red Sea into the wilderness without harm. We studied about how that their journey is very typical of our journey here on the earth today. Remember where they were headed? They were headed to the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. We today are on a journey to heaven if we're living righteously. Yet if we're not living righteously, we are on a journey to hell. Let us determine today that we are going to work to attain the ultimate goal of heaven. That should be our ultimate goal, the goal above all our goals in this life. Yesterday we studied how that the Israelites, as they stood before the Red Sea, that raging sea, and as there was a mountain on one side and a mountain on the other side, and 600 chariots behind them coming to capture them. Remember how we studied how that they were complaining and how that they were doubting Moses and God. And Moses then told them, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And remember how that he stretched his rod over the Red Sea, how that he divided it so that there was a solid wall of water on one side, and so that there was a solid wall of water on the other side, and how that the Israelites went through on dry ground. And once they had gone through, God told Moses, "Stretch forth your rod back over the sea," and he does so, and it has its strength, and it drowns all of the Egyptian soldiers that were coming forward to capture them. Remember how that we studied that they were letting their stumbling block of unbelief then show itself. When they were doubting God, they should have known that God would have taken care of them and would have protected them, as he did. As he protected them by having them go through that Red Sea on dry ground. Today we need to know as well that God is going to protect us. We need to understand that God is always going to take care of us. As long as we are living in accordance with his will, he will protect us and he will take care of us throughout our time that he gives us here upon this earth. The Israelites, as you study through the Old Testament, you will see that they often let their stumbling block of unbelief show itself. Remember that we are to have a true faith, Hebrews 11:6, in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. And according to that book of James, James chapter 2, we are to have an obedient faith. That's what a true faith is. We are to have a faith that shows itself. A faith that works, a working faith. James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead," meaning alone. The Israelites let their stumbling block of unbelief show itself again in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, by complaining and saying, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Most of the Israelites during this time were rarely happy, and they were complaining a lot of the time. They apparently thought that God would not take care of them in the wilderness. But did God care for them while they were in the wilderness? God certainly did care for His people. He fed them with bread from heaven, and they had all that they needed to eat, we see in Exodus chapter 16. But in Numbers chapter 21, verse 5, we see that the people were dissatisfied. Now they complained about what they had to eat. They did not like what they had to eat anymore. So they wanted to go back to Egypt, back to that place of bondage, back to that place that they hated being at while they were there in hard, laborious bondage. They wanted to go back to Egypt, where they could have onions and garlic and all of those things that they had. What did God do to them then? Well, if you remember from Scripture, in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6, He sent them fiery serpents. Fiery, the word fiery means poisonous. Now keep in mind that we need to push aside the stumbling block of unbelief if it is in our lives. Anything that God tells us to do, we ought to pay attention to and do exactly what He says without any argument or murmuring like most of the Israelites did. We should also be satisfied and happy with what God has given us. So the Israelites murmured against God, and God sent them fiery serpents. Then what? What did God have Moses to do about their sin? In Numbers chapter 21, verse 8, God told him to build a fiery serpent and to put it upon a pole and to tell those who had been bitten by the fiery serpents to look at this serpent upon the pole, to look at it and be healed. So, having built this fiery serpent of brass, Moses instructs the people to look at it, to look upon this fiery serpent of brass upon a pole in order to be healed. Those who had been bitten by the fiery serpents, which were poisonous serpents, had died by the thousands, and their unbelief caused many of them not to enter the promised land. Now, I ask you, what did that serpent represent that was hanging on a pole? It was a picture of the time that Jesus would hang suspended on the cross between earth and heaven. As the Israelites had to look up to heal their serpent bites, we have to look to the cross to find what will take away our sins. And the only thing that will take away our sins is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Here John says, by inspiration of God, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So let us not be like the Israelites who showed that they had a stumbling block of unbelief in their lives a lot. They doubted God much and seemed to have a hard time learning their lesson to obey God. What has been written in the Old Testament helps us to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes as the people in that time did. And it helps us to learn to be good like the faithful in the Old Testament, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. "Though the Old Testament is no longer binding upon us today," Colossians 2:14, "having been nailed to the cross. Today we live under the perfect law of liberty." It is that law that is binding upon us today. It is that law that we must obey today in order to go to heaven. If you have not obeyed the perfect law of liberty, then you need to do so. You need to do so, and you can do so, by becoming a Christian. How do you become a Christian? By hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God," Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. You must repent of your sins," Acts 2:38. "Confess that Jesus is the Son of God," Matthew 10:32. Jesus says there, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who art in heaven." You must also be baptized. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Upon your baptism you will be a Christian. You must live faithfully unto death." Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." If it be the case that you are a Christian and yet you've gone astray, you need to repent therefore this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts 8:22. And you need to confess your sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, today is the day of salvation. Determine today that whatever, and you may know and you should know what it is in your life, if there is anything in your life that is keeping you from doing what God commands you to do, push that aside today. Push that aside and start living for God. Remember, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. The great book of Ecclesiastes tells us so, and we've studied that verse earlier in this study. Remember that that is your duty. Make sure that you are fulfilling your duty so that you fulfill your purpose in this life and so that you will be able to go to heaven in the end. Thank you for joining us. And please join us again.